So, Boker Tov, 38 days to the Sfira, Tovshin Samar Zayin, holding today on Daf Chet. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Very disoriented without being able to read.
I'm trying to
read. So,
we're holding now on. Oh, yes, we did pretty well yesterday, actually. We got all the way down to the case of Iboy Teva, I think. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So yesterday we finally concluded that we do have a makor for the requirements of Aleha, although it was a pretty tough kind of makor, but it turned out that we could figure out a particular case of Hold Ishtari Ishtari, according to Ula, where we had Nasa mate, and then Nasa Chai, one of the Arayot, and since there was a little window of opportunity, if it wouldn't have been for Aleha, I would have thought that once the Torah was Matir one Erva, it was already Matir the other Erva, and that was the reason that we need Aleha. Actually, today, the Gemara, now holding one third of the way down, the Iboy Teima, has another approach that would allow us a little bit more of an across-the-board understanding of Aleha, not in this very specific case that we came up with yesterday. Iboy Teima, Atave Keisha Mid Rabbi Yehuda. We could learn out the whole thing, actually, if it hadn't been for Aleha. There's a Hekesh that Rabbi Yehuda points out that comes up a lot of times. The under Rabbi Yehuda B'Tema Rav Huna B'Rei, the Rabbi Yehoshua, Ogar Kro Kichol Asher Yaseh B'Kol HaTo'evot Ha'elu, V'Nichretu. Now, that means that at the end of the Parsha of Arayot, all of the Arayot are thrown into one pot, and they're called Kol, which means that this is a classic Hekesh. Hukshu Kol Arayot Kulan. So here all the Arayot are compared to each other, which means that they're compared to Eshet Ach. Ma Eshet Ach Sharia. And it would be telling me the same way that the definition of the erva of Eshet Ach is dependent on a situation where there's no mitzvat yibum. Av kol arayot damisharya kol asher yasemi kol atoevot ele applies only in a way that would apply to any of the arayot. Since it doesn't apply at all, the iser of kol asher yaseh to Eshet Ach b'mokam mitzvah, it wouldn't apply to any of the above b'mokam mitzvah. Therefore, katav rachmana aleha, the Torah now comes to tell us, yivamo yavo aleha, but not in the case of litzror megalot ervata aleha. Now everything is clear. Sorry?
The comparison
it has a lot of other things that it teaches us. Omar le revach, we diftil ravina, we will see later on as we go through the sugyas, but there's many, many dinim that we learn from that comparison. Omar le revach, we diftil ravina, mirt. I don't understand. I mean, you're saying that therefore comes along aleha, and now everything is fine. Well, why is everything fine? I mean, you're telling me, comes along aleha where? By one of the cases. The case of aleha only applies to the case of achot isha. The case of the heter of Yibum only applies to the case of Eshet Ach. Fine. So now we have two examples, okay? One laheter, one laisur. Now you're telling me they're all compared to each other. How do you know which one to compare them to? Do you compare them to the Eshet Ach? Or do you compare them to the Achot Isha? So, I ask you, Michti, I mean, let's reconsider here. Kol arayot, ikalak shini le Eshet Ach, ikalak shini le Achot Isha. I mean, basically, all you've done is you've brought us another model. You haven't told us now how it is that Aleha tells us that all of the Arayot are Peturot from Yibum. So, my chazita, the Akash al Achot Isha, why compare all of the other Arayot to make them Asurim Bimkom Yibum? Why not Akshinu Le'eshet Ach to make them all Mutarot Bimkom Yibum? Well, there's two explanations for that. I mean, the simple explanation is, without looking any more deeply into the mechanisms, if you have a choice of Lekula V'Lechumra, the rule is that a Hekesh that applies in two separate directions is to be applied Lechumra. Not because of Suffolk. That's one of the rules of Drudrosh of Hekesh. And the truth is, Yibayit Ema, I could tell you that there's perhaps something deeper here. Because it's true that when it comes to a Hekesh, we have a klal Ein meshivin ala hekesh. In other words, all the questions that we said before about why, obviously, there's no real comparison, and we tried to make yesterday a mamatzinu meshivah, right? So, well, what kind of mamatzinu is that? I mean, it's not really the same. We could ask the same thing on a hekesh, but big deal, you don't ask questions on a hekesh. That's true. But what about in a case where a hekesh itself presents two possibilities? Does that open the door to analyze the more reasonable of the possibilities, or does it just have to follow the rules that ain meshivin ala hekesh? So if you understand that the nature of ain meshivin ala hekesh is only where there's nothing in the actual hekesh itself that is forcing you to consider two possibilities, such as this case, do I look to eshet ach or do I look to achot isha? Okay, then you can just say, look, it's part of the rules, just apply it, it's like the toolbox, and you apply the tool, it doesn't matter what the logic is, that's the rules. But it could be there's something deeper here. It could be that a hekesh that forces you to contemplate two possibilities also asks you to analyze which one is more mukash. Because already Torah is saying it's similar. Okay, well, tell me what it's more similar to. Are the other arayot similar to eshet ach, or are they similar to achot isha? Simple way to tell. An erva that's similar to eshet ach will only have one isur karet every time it falls to yibam. Of course, that set is limited to precisely one, eshet ach. But any other erva will have two, at least, isurim when it falls to yibam. And that's the set of all the other arayot. So if you're asking me with the hekesh, does the hekesh force something out of its set into another set? The answer is no. If there's an alternative. If there's no alternative, the hekesh is saying there's only one set. But in this case, it can't be saying that. So the Ibai Tema is really a different way to look at hekesh. That hekesh is not just an application of halacha. Hekesh is, as the word implies, an actual comparison. In which case, we have a right to look at the available sets before we apply the comparison. So that's the Ibai Tema over here, the second approach to why we would look to Achot Isha instead of looking to eshet ach. Let's just see it inside. So the first approach was apply the hekesh toolbox. So lekula v'chumra, lekula makshina. The second approach is a hekesh allows you to determine which set it makes works better. So hachatre yisurei v'hachatre yisurei. Tre mitre yalfina. Avocha chada, tre mitchada lo yalfina. Rava says, gentlemen, we have just spent 4 days on absolute nonsense. There never was a havamina that we needed a pasuk to tell me that an erva is putter from. Where'd you get that idea from? Oh, yes, that bright about Aleha. I remember that. But the bright of Aleha was never coming to tell me anything about the erva. The bright of Aleha was actually just coming to tell me this finish about the din of the tzora. I never needed the pasuk of Aleha to tell me that the erva itself, erva gufa, what the erva itself, of course, doesn't need a pasuk to tell me that it doesn't fall to yibam. How can I think it falls to yibam? It's an isur karet, an ein aseh doche lo taseh sheshbo karet. Forget about all your agonized searches. Ki itzrich kro, the only thing that the whole pasuk was coming to tell me was that there's this new concept of lemesar sarah. To tell me that the tzara is asura, not to tell me that the erva is asura. What? You gotta be kidding. Ervala tzricha kro. Heck, I read the bright that seemed to say so clearly. Doesn't it say, Vorkatani, Ein li elahi tzarata minayin. Did you read those words? I only know that she herself is petura because it says aleha. How do I know that the tzora is also not included in Yibam? Talmud lomar li tzora. What was that first business? Eli Elohi. Was that a joke? Says, well, it's not a joke. It's just that it's a way of introducing the topic. The topic is, Aleha, of course, comes to tell me that we are talking about an application of the Didim of Yibam to Erva. So now, in order to move things along, we say, okay, Ein li elahi, not that I really needed Aleha to tell me that the erva itself, that's not what it implies. It just says, now that we're on the topic of her, okay, I understand that. How about a tzora? That's the main point, actually. Talmud omar mitzora. So what about the next piece? The next piece says, Ein li elahein. What does it say? Ein li elahein. Ein means she, and the Tzara. I mean, it certainly implies that she was part of the story. I mean, no, actually, that's just a literary way of introducing the Tzara to him. That's if you're going to contrast one set of cases to another case, you talk about the whole group. You know, we've established that she is Asura. I mean, of course she's Asura because in Esedek Alotas. I mean, but we established that she's Asura. The Tzara is Asura because of Alea. So far, both of them are Asura. It's very nice. Let's move on now to Tzara Tehem. What would be the din of Tzara Tehem? That's all that it means. It doesn't mean to necessarily throw them all into one package and say she and the Tzara are both Betura from the case of Alea. So basically, you've been knocking your head against the wall for no reason. The Tana never, ever implied that the purpose of the pasuk Aleha was to tell me that you're not allowed to take. There's a lot of witnesses. There's a lot of witnesses, Moshe Baruch.
That's not bad. Your shoulders are really up. I don't know why. Sorry.
If you had you behind you, your shoulders would be up.
My shoulders would be up. Thank you. I sat down.
No, it's great. I'm just worried about the mouth moving back there.
I can see you. I'm going to stop.
All right, so that's Rishum Tzorotayim. So now we have a whole different approach. Basically, we could have managed to do without the past three daf and just come along, and everything would have been simple. Revi says, I got a whole different approach, actually. Now, obviously, we're going to have to wonder about what exactly Alel was for, according to the way Rava's understanding it. It's not really coming, Alel, to teach me anything, it turns out. So is it just there to make us understand the case of Tzora? I mean, what would I have thought Tzora meant otherwise? All that's going to be described in a moment. But before we get there, turns out we have another very important sheet that this time Tana, not that the Amora is coming to understand the Braita, that offers a completely alternative way of learning out the Ptur of a Tzara and an Erva in the case of Yibum. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, and of course we're going to ask, what about Aleah? How does Rebbe understand Aleah? And we'll get back to that. But Rebbe Omer, I say, there's another drasha over here. The Parsha of Yibum, which talks about Yeshua Achim Yachadav, Beit Echad Mehem, and so on and so forth. So it says, Yevama Yavo Aleha, Ulekachat lo leisha v'yibma. Right? Now there's an awful lot of extra words there. Yevama yavo alea basically says it all, doesn't it? I mean, lekachat lo leisha. I mean, if you're interested in euphemisms, just say that. Don't say yevama yavo alea. And then v'yibma again? I mean, he already did that. What more can he do? Not to mention that you'll notice that it also says twice, stresses her. Ulekachat. The Yibma, I mean, if it just said V'yabim, V'lakach, I mean, we would know what it's talking about. Therefore, says Rabbi, the very words, what about Aleha? What about the words V'lakach it could have said? And instead it says Ulekacha. It could have said V'yabim. Instead it said V'yibma. What does that mean? Each one of those hays tells me one out of a choice. Her, but not the others, right? Twice. Lekacha. Her, but not the other one. And Yibma, her, but not the other one. What is that coming to tell me? Le'esor, tsarot, va'arayot. Wait. Rava. Before we proceed in understanding Rebbe, thanks. Before we proceed in understanding Rebbe, doesn't Rava claim that we don't need a pasuk for arayot? He could try to play games with the Tana, because the Tana, he could say, was only mentioning Hain because of the tsarot. But Rebbe says the Farish, Lesor Tzorot V'arayot. So if Rebbe needed the pasuk, how does Rava get away with saying, now the first Braita wasn't looking for a pasuk to pattern the Tzorot, the Arvo herself. Rebbe says it is. Are you arguing on Rebbe? No. No way around this. No, it says Rava, you're reading it wrong. It's not Tzorot V'arayot. What Rebbe said was Tzorot Shel Arayot. He never needed a pasuk of Arayot. Then why did he bring Tuksukim? He brought Ulekacha, and he brought V'yibma. Now, obviously, he's talking about two separate things. And if he mentions the two separate things, don't drain me a cup and say, those two separate things are really one thing. Not Erva and Tzora, but Tzora of Erva. Come on. Ema.
Once you say one, grammatically, you got to say the other.
No? No? Not really. You likacha lo leisha v'yaben. Do his thing. Do your yibum.
Sure, we can do that. Why
doesn't that? We'll talk about the aleil later. So Rebbe says, read at the sort tzarot shel arayot. Asks the Gemara, but Rebbe brought two psukim. He brought two psukim. Okay. Now my love, I mean, isn't it reasonable to say that one of those psukim was for the Ereva and one of the psukim was for the tzara? I mean, why are we mixing up what he's saying? No, says Rava. You know what? You guys don't understand Rebbe at all. Actually, he was talking about tzarot shel arayot. By the way, I mean, look at the way he says it. Look at the order. If he was really coming to tell me arayot v'tzarot, wouldn't he say arayot v'tzarot? The first one is the erva, then the tzara. Would he tell me lesor tzarot v'arayot? You see that I'm right. Tzarot shel arayot. Now, you want to know why he says to psukim? I'll tell you why. Let's say it would only have said to take one and not the other. Okay, so I would have understood that there's a new concept here of a tzara. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean a new concept? It doesn't mention anything about tzara here. I mean, what are you creating more tzaras? We got enough from. What does it say about a tzara over here, right? Okay, the Gemara will ask, because obviously he's not talking about the litzror, because he's ignoring the whole issue of the achot ishto. Okay, in the end, the Gemara is going to say, look, the very fact that we need to tell you one and not the other implies that we're talking about more than one wife, right? So we're talking about tzara. Good. Now, once the Torah comes along to tell me that there exists such concept of a woman who happens to be married to a man at the same time that some woman who is an erva to you is also married to him, is magically ptura from yibum, and you can't take her. Now, what does that make you think? It makes you think that the status of arayot is communicatable, doesn't it? It's like a disease. If this woman is asura to me, and she's been sleeping with the same guy that's married to somebody else, then that woman also becomes now unsuitable to me. Because they both, so to speak, are related to the same man, so they're related to each other, so they're related to me. But that's what I would think. Why would I associate it specifically with the case of the mitzvah? Therefore, I need another pasuk to tell me that chad, indeed, one comes to tell me that a tzara b'makom mitzvah is asura, but the other comes to tell me only this case. But if it wouldn't be a yibma, if it wouldn't be a situation of yibum, there'd be no problem of the lekacha either. I'm certainly allowed to take a woman who happened to have been at one point in her life married to a guy who was also married to my daughter. It's not a problem. It's only a problem because now she's falling to me for yibum. And therefore, the Torah says, the whole house is out of the question for you because your daughter is part of that household. So now I'm relating to that household, to Beit Achi. So now I understand, so it's a different concept. It's a concept that has to do with the Ptur of Yibum. The only thing that the problem is on this Tzara is that she also was married to my brother. Having been married to my brother, she's obviously Asura because that's one of the Arayas. But she's not an Erva because she was married to a guy who was married to my daughter. That's not the issue. So the marriage to the daughter basically potters her from you. That would be the simple way of learning. There is, I mean, obviously we can't prove that. That's the most elegant way of learning. There may be indications, we'll see later on, that that's not completely accurate. Because there's another way of looking at it, of course. The other way of looking at it is that Erva is communicatable in cases where Yibum forces the two of them into one household vis-a-vis me. And that actually she remains Asura on me because of Tzarat Habat. Not simply because of being the Eshet Ach. I mean, then the question would be, why would I need a posuk to tell me Tzarot to him? Well, I need to address that issue. Because if tzarotayam is only a reflection of the tzara having been left behind as an ancient shalom b'makom mitzvah, so obviously she pops the tzara. She's one of the 15 arayot. She's like the same as the ancient aktiv shalom hayah ba'olamo. That's not a new Erevah. It's just a regular Eshetach, obviously. Not two Pesukim to tell me one type of Eshetach and another type of Eshetach. Wherever there's an Eshetach, where there was no Yibud to remove the Eshetach, she remains an Erevah like any of the other of the 15 Erevahs, right?
Not the Tzara.
The Tzara Tzara is now a Tzara of an Erevah. And the Tzara of a Tzara of a Tzara is not a Tzara. I don't need a Pesuk for that. So the implication is, therefore, that there may be some other mechanism. It isn't simply a function of the beginning. Maybe Eshetach that falls to Yibum indeed is no longer an Eshetach. Maybe a brother who dies, the Yerushalmi raises this possibility. The definition of the Erva of Eshetach is the wife of a brother who has children or who is alive. That's the definition. Now, if the brother is both dead and has no children, she's not an Eshetach. Period. Boom. Now, not that I'm being doche Eshetach by Yibum. There's no Eshetach. I've redefined the nature of the Erevah. Now, that completely changes the question of how to relate to Tzora. This is a whole different possibility. I'm just throwing it out to you because Richie is so interested in all of the possibilities that I just wanted to go through it and make sure that it doesn't...
Did Tzora ever fall off after Yibum?
I forgot that while you were away...
I waited.
No, this is serious. While you were away, in all honesty, nothing to do with you even. How do you like that? It's a good thing you were away. We made a rule limiting each individual
that was done before,
to two questions.
And, I have not asked
and you've already exceeded 14.
That was yes. That from a
is there any falling off of Tzara after you?
Amen.
Or does it stay permanent?
Permanent. Okay, so it comes along now the Torah to tell me that Dafka, my time of where do we see that? The Yabim V'yibma, meaning, where did I say Ulikacha, and only one out of the two? In a place where V'yibma. But Dafka B'makam Yibub Udi Asira Tzara, Shalom B'makam Yibub Sharia Tzara. Om Ravashi, you know what? I can't believe this, that we didn't notice this before, but the truth is, if you read the Mishnah sure sounds like Rava, that we were never looking for a Chiddush about the Erva. Because the amazing thing is, the Mishnah says, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potrot Sorotehem. Why say that? Why not say Pturot first? I mean, if you're coming to establish this grand new halacha, right? I certainly would have thought on my own that Esses Docha Lota said that when the Terach Kadesha says, Liabemet Aisha, it's Liabemet Aisha, Afilubim Komerva, comes along Rabbeinu HaKadosh to say, Chamesh Etrei Nashim are Ptrot, and that's not true. And furthermore, Ptrot Etzorotehen. Why do you leave out that word, Pturot? As if, well, that's obvious, man. I'm not even talking about that. I'm only talking about the relationship to the Tzorot. It looks like, indeed, the Mishnah was constructed around the assumptions of Rava. Now, nobody would ever have thought that Yibum is supposed to be Doche Erva. The only Chiddush of the Mishnah is that the Chamesh Esrei Nashim are also Potrot Sorotehem. So by making now the entire focus of the Mishnah, the Tzora, as opposed to the Erva being now the subject that acts on the object Tzora, that certainly means that the main point over here is the Tzora, not the Erva. Uh-huh. So it looks like Rava was right all along. Masnis inami deka. Diktoni chamesh esrei nashim potrot tzorotayam. Ilu pturot u potrot lokatan. Does it say a word about the arayot being pturot? Shema mina. Indeed, it appears to be that's the whole point of the Mishnah. Wow. Now, I just want to understand something over here. The Erva doesn't need a Pasuk Rava. Let's try to understand Rava a bit better. Rava is saying that the Erva doesn't need a Pasuk because Ein Ase Doche Lo Ta'ase Shish Bo Karet, right? Does Rava agree that there exists this concept of a Tzora? Yes. I mean, he just said we need a Pasuk to be Matir the Tzora. So, in other words, in B'makam Yibum, to Aser, so to speak, so that there shouldn't be a B'makam Yibum. But if that's the case, then why do we need a Pasuk to tell us that the Tzora is also Ptura? For what? For what possible purpose? I mean, in Esedoch Alot Atzashish Bokoreit on the Tzora as well. If we agree that a concept of Tzora exists, and we see this in the Pesuk of Achotisha, it's true, that's the only time that the Torah uses the word Yitzror, okay? Our assumption right now is that he has this Yitzror to tell me this bit. There exists a concept of a Tzora. So that there means that there's a Tzora of Achot Isha. Okay. Now, that means you cannot marry your sister-in-law, your wife's sister, or marry a woman who is married to a guy who's married to your wife's sister. I mean, that's what it seems to be saying. Who's a co-wife to your wife's sister, right? So then she falls to Yibum. In this case, it happens to be she falls to Yibum from your brother. That's usually the case. Okay. So, fine, I mean, but that's irrelevant. There exists a concept called Litzror. So if she falls to Yibum, now she's Asura because of Litzror. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me, oh, so you should know that the Torah says, Ulekacha, and you can't have her. Of course I can't have her. You said I don't need a pasuk to tell me I can't have my wife's sister. So why should I be able to have my wife's sister's co-wife? It's the same thing. It's the same svara. I may not say, period, if there's a Koreh. So why is Rava say we need a pasuk for one and not the other? Omer le Rav Acha Barshbibi, Ma Lravina, Ochikamar Mishmei de Rava. Actually, Rava just didn't want to say it openly, but I was told in a whisper in Rava's name. Truth is, even the Tzara doesn't need a pasuk. I just knew I couldn't get away with so much all at one time. Actually, the Tzara not even a tzara. The pasuk is not coming to tell me that the Tzora is a Sura. Believe it or not, I knew this was going to drive everybody crazy. I couldn't say it. But the truth is that Alea was coming around all the time to teach me Heter, not Isser. See? Because if it wouldn't have been for that pasuk, you would have thought that a Tzora is a concept of co-wife. Shared Erev. That's what you would have thought. I need somewhere to know that the word Litzror and the concept of a co-wife is completely meaningless except in the context of Yibum. How do I know that? The only way I know that is from this pasuk. Ki Yitzchakra Lemishrei Tzara Shalobavaka Mitzvah. Actually, the whole point of Aleha is not coming to Aser Atzoras Erva for Yibum, it's coming to be Matir Atzoras Erva Shalom Akam Yibum. My time, how do I see that? Here's how I see it. Omar Kra, Yavama Yavo Aleha. And it also says, Litzror, Legalot Ervata Aleha. Why does it say that Aleha? To tell me that the Aleha, Bimakam Aleha, only and specifically in a case where we're dealing with Aleha. What's that famous Aleha? Yavama Yavo Aleha. Only where we're dealing with Yavama Yavo Aleha, there says the Torah that there exists a concept of Etzora. Who the Asira? But Shaloba Mokam Erba Shari. So that the point is, don't mistake the concept of Litzror to be a new type of Erva. Actually, the only meaning of Litzror is a Ptur of Yibum, not a new Isser Erva, and therefore it can never apply unless she happens to be married to your brother. But if she's married to somebody, there's no such thing as an Isser of marrying a co-wife to an Erva. It doesn't exist. The word co-wife doesn't exist. The meaning of Tzora is in terms of Erva. In terms of you.
You can marry any
Ervas. Sorry. As long as it's not your brother's. And that probably only because she's now a Sura because of Eshazach, not because she's a Sura for some. Right. That was just a reason. That she's a reason to potter her from Erva. And it makes a lot of sense, because after all, Beit Achiv, the Torah looks at as one home. But the only time it looks at that is where there's a responsibility of the brother to relate to it as a home. I mean, it's not my business what this guy's home is. Right now, his wife is an almana, a grusha, whatever. She has nothing to do with him. Plony, I don't even know his name. I just know she was once married. Who cares? She was thrice married. I mean, who cares? The point is, right now, she's not married. Well, I'll marry her. I don't need to know the names of her husband and how she murdered them, or, I mean, how they were all in the garisher. Not prudent, this fellow. Okay, so there's no problem, therefore, of requiring a pasuk to tell me neither that an erev is asura or that a tzora is asura. On the contrary. In other words, what we're doing here, you see what we're doing here, the way we're learning it. There are other approaches, but what we're doing here is creating a catch-22 situation. We're saying like this. If it wouldn't have been for Aleah, we would have been left with the word of Lekacha. So then I would have understood that there exists a concept of a tzora, and I would have said that that concept exists on its own. Okay? So that it would have applied all over. In which case, I now Aleha, and Aleha is coming to tell me, no, it's only a din in Erva, in Yibam. If it's only a din in Yibam, so then you'd say, ah, but then you need a pasuk to tell me that you're potter from Yibam. Because you don't know that there's such a thing as a tzora that is potter because of Ein Esedoch Alot Aseh V'Aseh. Ah, that's true. But you see, if it hadn't said Aleha, then it would have just explained that there was a concept called tzora, which is communicatable Erva. But then it would have been an Issachar. So then I wouldn't have needed Aleha. Right? In other words, you keep going around in this circle so that both of them now explain the other. Don't say Aleha and understand it Sora as a communicatable Erva. Okay, then I don't need a pasuk to tell me that she doesn't fall to Erva. However, then I would say it applies in any case. Whoever she was married to, my brother or a stranger, comes along Aleha to tell me that there's a p'tur of a tzora, but I don't need a p'tur. Ah, but if you know there's a p'tur of a tzora, then you know that a tzora means someone who's p'tura because of Yibam, not a communicatable erva. So we have a redefinition of the concept of tzora. Mm-hmm. That's why the Tana said it the way he said it. That's what Rav is saying. Am I going to sit here and explain all of that to you? So therefore I said the erva doesn't need a pasuk. Okay, now you're going to start asking, wait a minute, the erva doesn't need a pasuk. Why does the tzora need a pasuk? Yeah, go ahead. So now you'll reach the end, but the bottom line is, you're right, the Tana did put it in terms of Isser. That's true. See, that's so misleading. It wasn't really coming to tell me an Isser, it was coming to tell me a Heter. But that's not so. The only way to tell me the Heter is to tell me that you need to know the Isser. And that therefore Tzora is not really an Erva. Tzora is simply a Ptur from Yibam, which then makes her an Erva. Because of that, we take the whole approach from the beginning that we're looking for an Isser, not for a Heter. But in point of fact, the results are Heter, not Isser. That's the idea, says Rava. Now you got it. And by the way, we're going to see that the Gemara actually uses that word, and it confuses a lot of the Mefarshim, as we'll see in a moment. But with this approach, there's nothing confused. It uses the word Isser, when in fact, when Rava was a Heter. But the way we're understanding it now, it's not so. It is Isser. It's just Isser that teaches us. That's the Shlomo Baka Mitzvah. Omar le Rami bar Chama le Rav. Let me ask you something. I mean, why can't we say that actually what it's coming to teach me, I mean, you're saying Aleha is the definition of when the otherwise known Isser would apply. Is that what you're saying? In other words, if it hadn't been for Aleha, I would have said that it's mutter. I mean, why don't we look at the other way? Why don't we say that the pasuk of Aleha, you're right, it's coming across the board to tell me there is an Isser, Tzora, but only b'makom mitzvah. Hey, in that same pasuk, it doesn't only talk about the Tzora. I mean, it does talk about the Achot Ishaja herself. So why not understand the pasuk to be saying there exists a concept of an Achot Isha and her co-wife in cases where they fall to Yibam. Which means that there's no Isser of Achot Isha either, unless it's B'makom Mitzvah. There's, how do you know that the Aleha only redefines Tzora? According to you, Tzora was a concept that existed anyway, right? Comes along Aleha to redefine that concept and tell me that it's only B'makom Mitzvah. Okay, fine. So Achot Isha is something that also exists anyway. It says, don't take your Achot Isha. Fine. Comes along Aleha to tell me, when shall you not marry your wife's sister? In a case where she would fall to you in Yibam. But in other cases, there's no Isser taking your wife's sister.
No.
Why not? Why is he Yotzei Bipshuto? Allah says he's called Yotzei Bipshuto. The Pasuk says with Tzor, no. And we're understanding where no, Aleha no. So to Achotisha, no. I mean, so what, why not? So Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah Tishteri. Says Rav, that's totally illogical, and it's backwards. Isn't it a Kal V'Chomer? I mean, if B'Mokom Mitzvah, she's Aser. So Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah should be Mutter? I mean, if anything, if there's Yibum, that's more of a reason to take her, not more of a reason to Aser her. Hey, wait, excuse me, Rav. You just said exactly that when it came to the Tzorah. You said that the Tzorah, which otherwise would have been Aser, is now actually only Aser B'Mokom Mitzvah. No, and Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah. If the Torah creates a concept of Tzorah, so it should be for sure Aser Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah. So Tzorah Tochiyah. B'Mokom Mitzvah Asira. Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah Sharia. Now, it's true that at the end of the day, we recognize, and obviously Rami Bar Choma recognizes that this is nonsense. Why is it nonsense? Because we understand that the meaning of the limud of Tzorah Serva is now to be seen as the remnants of the Yisra Shesach, we can't be matir. But what Rami Bar Choma is saying is, how do you know that? That's the point. You started off with an assumption, Robert. You started off that there's a given, that there's a concept of Tzara Serva. That's what you said. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that there's a Ptur of Yibum and a Tzara, because without any pasuk, I would have said a Tzara is always a Sura. So it's a chorus, no Yibum. What then were the implications of the Torah telling me the Isser of Aleha to tell me that it's only B'Mokom Mitzvah? Now I'm telling, and you say, and therefore, we can thus conclude that what it really means is that there's no Isser Tzara, there's only an Isser of Eshesach that's frustrated B'Mokom Yibum by the fact that there's one bias. That's what you're saying. How do you know to conclude that? I mean, you're telling me, well, it's logical. What do you mean it's logical? And when you first started off thinking that Tzara exists as a concept on its own, and now suddenly you were willing to take the next step. You needed to take the next step. The next step being that it's only a concept of Mokom Mitzvah. And then you came to the conclusion that that is because X, Y, and Z. I want to understand how you made the next step. Because the first assumption that you had, that there exists an Isser of Tzara, is also true about Achot Isha. There exists an Achot Isha. Now you were willing to take the Tzara and throw it out the window, Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah. And you didn't say to yourself, boy, are you stupid, Rava? But I mean, if anything, it should be saying just the opposite. The Torah is saying Aleha, and I knew the Isra of Tzara anyway, so maybe the meaning of Aleha is, you know what, but since it's a mitzvah, take the Tzara in the case of a mitzvah. How did you know to say the other way? That no, it's only Aser because it's a mitzvah. And I'm asking you the same. You looked at me like I'm crazy when I said to you, and all I'm doing is forcing you to look in the mirror. I'm asking you, take Achot Isha and say, only B'Mokom Mitzvah. And you jump at me and you say, well, you're crazy. If anything, it's just the opposite. Thank you. It's exactly what I wanted to hear from you. So when you believe that sorrow existed as an Isra, and you had now a pasuk that says, Aleha, you had two choices. You could have said, I mean, obviously the Torah doesn't mean to say that the B'Mokom Mitzvah, it's Aser and only B'Mokom Mitzvah. It's much more reasonable to say B'Mokom Mitzvah, it's Mutter. And everywhere else it's Aser. Exactly what you said to me now. And instead you jumped to the other conclusion. Why? Because you're already prejudiced. Actually, you had already made up your mind that Tzara isn't really an Erva. Tzara is just the remnants of Eshadat. So then if you had already made up your mind, I don't know where you got it from, but if you had already made up your mind, then why did you claim that we don't need a pasuk to pat to the Tzara, because anyway, in Esedol Chalosa Seshish Bokoris. Don't you understand that you're not facing up to what it is that you really hold? So if once you made that first assumption, you had no right to come to your conclusion. That's all I'm saying. You can't have it both ways. You can't know in advance that a Tzara isn't really an Erva, but claim all along that I don't really need a pasuk to ask a Tzara. Because it's a Lord of the Sejshua cars. And then come to a conclusion, which is illogical, that this Erva would only apply B'Mokom Mitzvah. How can an Erva only apply B'Mokom Mitzvah? It's a Kal V'Chomer, you just said it yourself. Ah, says Rav, very smart. But the Torah is one step ahead of you, my friend Rami Bar Choma. Alecha, it's because of people like you that the Torah had to insist, knowing that one day Rami Bar Choma would be Rami this on me, and it adds a word, and that word is Bichayeha. Legalot ervata aleha bichayeha. What is it saying? While she's alive, at any point in her life, kol she bichayeha. Oh, come on. If it meant bichayeha, we know what bichayeha is there for. Bichayeha is telling me that if she's dead, her sister's not an erva. It's not coming to tell me something new about any time in her life, even if it were in a case where there was no yivam. Please. It means exactly what it says. This is the only erva that is canceled by death. It's a big chiddush. We're talking the reason it says bechayah. What are you looking at me like that for? What did you lose? Rava says, isn't it a kavachomer?
Rava's answer, Rami
Bechamet. Yeah.
Okay.
So then Rami says, okay, thank you. That's what I expected you to say. She said the same thing by the Torah. To which Rava says, that's precisely why the Torah says, Bechayeha, any time in her life, irregardless of Yibam. An achot isha is always asura. To which Rami says, that is not why it says Bechayeha. Any school child knows why it says Bechayeha. It says Bechayeha to tell me that if it's not Bechayeha, she's not asura. Can you give me another example of that? The woman is your mother-in-law, only while she's your mother-in-law. But if your wife is no longer alive, she's not your mother-in-law. Not true. She's still your mother-in-law. So a sister-in-law should be the same thing. Comes on the bus and say, no, this is unique. A woman, once she's no longer on this earth, does not answer her sister. I don't need it lachar misa. That I would have known on my own without the word b'chayeh. You would? Yes, it says, isha el achota. The meaning of isha el achota lo tikach litzror. What do you mean isha el achota? Why not just say, achot ishtecha lo tegaleh? It says, achot imcha lo tegaleh. Why can't it say, achot ishtecha lo tegaleh ervata? Why is it isha el achota? What a strange way of saying the yisr. Unless it's coming to tell me that only when it's both the isha and achota, then it's aser. No, this is not true. If it would have said be isha lachota, I might have thought that, so suppose she's no longer married to you, so you divorced the first woman, now she's not isha lachota, so now you can marry her sister. Doesn't say anything about death. The only place that it talks about the question of whether she's alive or not is b'chayah. So it still needs to tell me b'chayah that as long as she is alive, but obviously, it's not coming to say, and in any and all circumstances, either Yibam or not Yibam. The Torah wasn't thinking of those terms. Why should it? It needs to say what it's saying. Talmud Omar b'chayah. That means, kol shebechayah, oh yeah, kol shebechayah, all right. But nothing to do with what you said. Not Yibam, but rather, the afagav the nidgarsha lo. That's the point. Do you say, are you crying, uncle? Yeah? Good. Ella, let's try something else. So this approach didn't work too well. I got a question on it. Ella, Amar of Unabat Achlifa Mishmei de Rava, the real approach that Rava had was, in response to all of these problems, was that we have two psukim. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says, Isha el achota lo tikach litzror. Okay? Now, on the other hand, it says, Legalot ervata. Okay, ervata. Ervata is mashma choda. One of the above, correct? So basically, we have a contradiction. First you say litzror. Litzror means both of these women are in a similar position. Can't take either of them. That's what litzror means. They are co-wives. Co-wives have the same din. They're asurot. Then you say, Legalot ervata. Now, when you stress ervata, you're saying the exact opposite. You're saying her erva, the one that is the erva, as opposed to the other one who isn't the erva. How can you write that all in one line? Complete contradiction. You're introducing a concept called litzror, And on the other hand, you're saying Erevata, which is the opposite of Litzvar. That's mind-bogglingly contradictory. I mean, it's literally an oxymoron. A Litzvar Erevata. You cannot use that Erevata in the same line as Litzvar. Okay, so unless it's referring to two contradictory situations. Litzvar, yes. B'mokam mitzvah, absolutely. There's a concept called Litzvar. And Shteihem Asurot. Shalom b'mokam mitzvah, Erevata. Only he Asura, no problem of a Tzara. And the other one is Muteret. Forget about Aleh. Okay, I take it back. All right. So the idea over here is innate in the word of Tzara, in the very parsha. Forget about Yibum, not Yibum. In the very parsha of the Aleha of the Galot Ervata Aleha, right there, the word Litzrar says the Galot Ervata, before you get to the word Aleha, the Galot Ervata, okay? Therefore, one must be B'makom Mitzvah, one must be Shalom B'makom Mitzvah. Yeah, okay, I agree. One must be B'makom Mitzvah, and one must be Shalom B'makom Mitzvah. Obviously, the one that's Mutter Shalom B'makom Mitzvah, the one that's Mutter is the one B'makom Mitzvah, of course. Since there's a makom mitzvah, now it should be mutter. The one that's usher is the case where shalom makom mitzvah. I got the same problem as I had before. You're telling me that the pasuk is giving me two contradictory indications about the nature of co-wives. In one case it's okay, in the other case it's not okay. Excellent. Which, go ahead, tell me now, blind question, guy on the street. Where do you think the Torah is matir tzor, or where do you think she usher's a tzor? Come on, tell me. Obviously, it was a mitzvah. So the Torah says, look, it's a big mitzvah. We've got to be matir the tzor. If it's not a mitzvah, we answer the tzor. You're still coming to me with your preconceived notions that you already know the answer, so now this is what the pasuk is coming to tell me. So, Eibuchano, why don't I say, exactly as I said before, b'moka mitzvah, hi asura v'tzorata mutarat, shalo b'moka mitzvah, shtehem asura. No, would explain, how do you say that? No, because, she says, Rava, the end result is, I told you we were using Aleha. That's the point. In Cain, lo yomar Aleha. Let's say, the Torah wanted to teach me a halacha. This is so exciting. It's marvelous. The elegance of the information density. It's just beautiful. And how can you possibly fall asleep over such a thing? It's mind-bogglingly elegant. Look.
It's mind-boggling.
No, it's not mind-boggling in that sense. It's the elegance that's mind-boggling. The simple logic is childishly easy. Seriously, there's nothing complicated here. You just have to remember the steps, that's all. There's not one step that is complex. Okay, so now, take a look how beautiful this is. We know there exists a concept. What is this whispering in kindergarten here? What's going on?
Talking
here? All of a sudden, once you get past 80, you're allowed to talk in class. It's unbelievable. It's this new minig of making a new bar mitzvah. You know? When you get to 83, you make a new bar mitzvah. So you think you start over again? I could talk in class again. It's unbelievable. Okay. So now. The Shaila is like this. If you wanted to tell me a din, and I know there's a din of Tzara, it's not so, it's wrong. If all you wanted to tell me was that there's a halacha of a Tzara sometimes and not halacha other times, and that is talking about the makom Yibum, obviously it's a big mitzvah, will be doicha. Don't talk about Yibum. Create the contradiction by using this oxymoron of a Tzara Ervata. That's an oxymoron. I sit here believing that the Torah means something, so when I see an oxymoron, I split it in my mind, and I say, the oxy applies to one thing, and the moron applies to the other. Don't try to switch it around. If you need to tell me that we're talking about Aleha, that means that I'm not supposed to use my logic, which I anyway would have said, but of course, B'mokka Mitzvah is the time to say it's mutter. If you're telling me Aleha, you're creating the conditions in the pasuk that force me to say the opposite. You say, look, if the Torah needs to say that I'm introducing this parsha in terms of Yavama Yavo Aleha, and I think to myself, what does Achos Isha have to do with Yavama Yavo Aleha? And then I see that I have an oxymoron. So then I say, look, if the Torah needed to tell me that, that Yavama Yavo Aleha, obviously it means, and you know what I meant by Tzara? I meant a Tzara in the context of Aleha that parties from Yibam and therefore remains an Erevah. I don't mean a new idea that would have applied across the board, which then you didn't need to hear Aleha for. So Aleha now creates the entire context of Tzara. That's the idea, says Rava. I told you all along that Aleha basically redefines the Isser. You were the one who kept pushing. Now you see. Okay, so now we understand Rava's approach. This is great. Okay, so it all boils down to don't say Aleha, and everything would be great.
His brother marries his sister, his wife's sister.
Can Good morning, Majesty. Sorry, we went ahead a little bit, but another few minutes. We're almost done.
Come on in.
Come on in, it's exciting. Moshe Baruch even got up so he could take his seat. Yes, Saba Josh. I listen.
And he also married his role after he's married his wife's sister because her husband died.
Who was the husband? The brother or somebody else?
The brother.
The brother was the husband that was married to the other guy?
Yeah.
And he divorced his other wife?
He's got three wives and
two wives and three wives. One of them was his wife. The other one was Shore. So he married the wife. The brother married...
The brother married the daughter, let's say the other brother.
All right.
Okay, and then?
Can he marry the Shore also?
What is the Shore? What is that?
The other wives of the one who died.
Along with the daughter.
You're getting very confusing. Sorry. Tell me this case from the beginning. There were two brothers.
There were two sisters.
Two sisters?
Two sisters.
Okay. It's a good thing I asked. Two boys that are brothers marry the two sisters.
They don't have to be brothers.
Okay. Two brothers marry two sisters.
Right.
Getting exciting. Now what happens?
Now there's brothers also. One of the brothers died.
Mm-hmm.
So this brother marries the sister.
No, he was married to the sister.
And he marries now his brother's wife.
No, he can't do that.
Because she's still his wife's sister?
Because she's still his wife's sister. And Yibam doesn't counter a wife's sister.
Gemara.
All right. Now, continues on the Gemara. Omar le Rev Ashi le Rev Kahana. Speaking about the way you just darshan the whole puzzle. Okay, I understand you know from Aleha what you know. Why do you know that Aleha is coming to tell me an Isser? Now, that's not really true. You see, this bothers people. Aleha doesn't come to tell me an Isser. You just told me that Aleha comes to tell me a Heter. But the point is, the only way I know about that is by the fact that Aleha restates the nature of the Isser of the Tzara. It's still true that Aleha has come to tell me an Isser, out of which is Matzmiach, an understanding of Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah Netzara, correct? So now I want to know, how do you know that Aleha is coming to tell me an Isser at all? Maybe the whole point of Aleha is to be matir everybody, including your sister-in-law, in Saba Josh's case. Maybe that's the whole point of Saba Josh's case. Where a sister-in-law who is also your wife's sister, so she's a double sister-in-law. She's your brother's husband, your brother's wife, and she's your wife's sister. So no matter how you look at it, she's still your sister-in-law. So maybe the Torah is telling me to be matir, taking your sister-in-law, however she's your sister-in-law. That's the point. Aleha. In a case where Yavama Yavo Aleha, then even this Aleha is cancelled, right? That's another way of looking at it. So who says that Aleha is coming to tell me an Isser? Maybe it's coming to tell me a Heter. Vot Gam Rachmana. Isha el achota lo tikach litzror. Never. Lo hi velo tzorata. Anywhere, anytime. Married to anybody. Lo hi and not the tzora shalo b'makom aleha. But that's only if there's no fear of evil. Maybe Aleha. I mean, do you understand? You know, Rava, you were very impressive. I got to hand it to you. You were very impressive with all this information density business. But it actually boiled down to an assumption all along. The assumption being that there was this distinction to be made between the Ishalachotah and the Tzorah, almost as if you knew you were going in advance. I still have my suspicions. If we were looking at it from the point of view of a naive reader who didn't have any preconceived notion, and I discovered that the Pasuk tells me a new erva called a wife's sister, Aleha, In other words, a wife's sister, but Mokom Aleha. That's the point. I mean, that's what you said about the Tzara. I mean, so the idea over here is that any time we've got this Aleha, then there's no problem. So if there's a mitzvah, no problem. Shtei mutarot. No, you see, you're right. But you missed the real meaning of the information density. Because legalot ervata aleha, okay, which showed me that there's the oxymoron, you're ignoring that. If the point of aleha is to address the pasuk as a whole, you don't need to create the oxymoron. You thought all I was saying was that legalot, the idea of aleha, makes more sense to say that now that we've got a case of heter and a case of this, it comes along to be allowed to explain that that's the mocker of the whole idea, right? So you're saying, let me get around Rava's brilliant analysis by saying, maybe Allah refers to the whole pasuk, not to the Torah. And it's coming to tell me, Adarab, it's coming to tell me, in a case of Allah, then there's a heter. Okay, thank you. And now what about the Torah? What do you mean, what about the Tzara? I mean, the Tzara is a new concept, but it doesn't apply to Malka Mitzvah. Very good. Then do I need to know the idea of Ervata, one and only one? You just defined the difference. You just said. I don't need to. I mean, even the Achot Yishar itself is Mutar B'Malka Mitzvah. So, of course, the Tzara is Mutar B'Malka Mitzvah. Why the oxymoron? Then it's obvious. The Tzara is only an extension of the Achot Yishar, right? The Al-Khazisha is Muteres B'Mokam Mitzvah Yibam, so is the Tzara. So what was the point of creating that extra Mapike? Ervata. Only one of them, and not the other one. Where is that? Excuse me. Where is that? Where is one of them Mutter and the other one is awesome? Right? You say, one is Mutter. Ervata. Explain to me the case. Where is one Mutter and the other awesome? Is it B'Mokam Mitzvah? B'Mokam Mitzvah, you said they're both Mutter. Is it Shalom B'Mokam Mitzvah? You said B'Mokam Mitzvah, they're both awesome. And what you did is you're telling me that the Pasuk is saying there is some case somewhere that one is usher and one is mutter. Okay, go ahead. Now we're back where we started from, and I've already shown you. There's only one way to analyze that. So, beautifully. Forget about even the need of the oxymoron. The fact that there's one that's mutter and one that's usher, without the contradiction to say, already tells me this is off the wall. There cannot be across the board, heter or iser. B'maka mitzvah, shalav b'maka mitzvah. That's point A. Point B, you have a contradiction in the notion of tzara, because you said ervata. Where? Ah, aleha. Thank you. So now we know that b'maka mitzvah, surprisingly, it's aser. Because if it wouldn't be shalav, it would be the other way around, then don't mention aleha. Logic would have told me the same thing. So therefore, I now know, by virtue of simply using an extra mapikate, and by telling me the word aleha, which puts it into the context of yibam, all the above information that redefines it in the nature of lekacha, tells me when yes, when not, that it applies to yibam, not cases of non-yibam, and so on and so forth. And everything is very simple. But you guys were sniffing up the wrong track the whole time. You tried to figure out why we needed aleha to aser and erva. There never was such a thing. Actually, all along we were looking for aleha to be mater the tzara. What do you think about that? Things are seldom what they seem in milk masquerade as cream. Vibay demon. Where are we up to? We eat, we buy them, Rav Amar, Erva Gufa lo tzricha kro. Deina se dofa lo tasa shesh po karek. We never thought it did. Gitzur tholameser tzora. Erva lo tzricha kro. Vokatani ein li elahin. That was mishum tzora ta. Vokatani ein li elahin. It's also mishum tzora tehim. Tashma, Rebbe Yomar v'lakach l'kacha v'yabein v'yibma. Please call Nachi. Le'esor tzorot v'arayot. Ema le'esor tzorot shel arayot. The tree croaking us in life. My love, Chad, the Arab, Chad, the Tzora. Lo, Edi, Edi, the Tzora. Chad, the Mesa, Tzora, the Makom Mitzvah. The Chad, the Mishre, Tzora, Shalom, the Makom Mitzvah. My time, the Abim, the Yibma, the Makom Yibam, the Astra, Tzora. Shalom, the Makom Yibam, Shari, Tzora. Omri Vashi, Masisanami Deka, the Tani. Hamesh, the Sreina, Shim, Potrot, Tzorotayam. Doesn't say, to wrote, Upotrot sarotayam lokatani. Shema amina? Umaishna erba lo tzircha kra de nesedocha lo tasa shesh pokarei. Soranari lo tibay kra vishum de nesedocha lo tasa shesh pokarei. Oma le revacha bar bivi mar le revina. Holy karmar mishmeni rava. Truth is, soranami lo tzircha kra. The itzircha kra, the mishre tzara shalobit ko mitzvah. My time, Omar kra alea, dafke ba mokam alea, hu di asira, but shalobit mokam alea sharia. Why not say Erva Gufa Shalom Makom Mitzvah Tishrei? What are you talking about? V'lav Kav Chomer Makom Mitzvah Shalom Mitzvah Sharia? How really? Amalei Tzara Tochia Makom Mitzvah Asir Shalom Mitzvah Sharia. Amalei Alech Omar Kra Bichayeha Kol Shebichayeha. No. I don't care. Mivayle Lemuti Lachamis. I know that from Inshallah Kuta. No, I don't. Ishala Kotava meaning in Garsha Sharia. Talmudomer Bechaya. Kosha Bechaya for Garsha is Garshala. El Omer, what about the Khalifa? We've made the raw, but the real, deeper analysis of this is the Trey Kroitzi. On the one hand, it says Ishala Kotalo Kikachliksor. And on the other hand, it says the Galot Ervata, the Chora. Not Eitza. Mkom mitzvah, Shtem Asurot. Shlobim Kam mitzvah. He Asurav, it's Rata Muteret. But wait, I mean, so why not say the other way around? Bebakom mitzvah yasra v'tzara muteret, shalom bebakom mitzvah shtei masorot, because inkein lo yomar aleha. Omele ravashim of kana, but still, I mean, in my day aleha le yisura, dion aleha tera, and it's a tera across the board. How can you come around about it? Yishala chota lo tikach mitzror, meaning, under any circumstances, lo yi v'lo tzorata, where shalom bebakom aleha. Avo bebakom aleha, even though it's an alot, as a shishpo karit, and I wouldn't have thought it. Comes along at the Aliyah to tell me the Chiddush that Shtei Mutarot. Amalei, because in came the Galot Ervata, which is only of one of them. Where? Ech Meshkachas. There's never a case according to you. Ibo Makam Mitzvah Shtei Mutarot, and in Shalom Makam Mitzvah Shtei Mutarot. Can you imagine?
So it doesn't fit into the
Talmud. Yeah, but.